This is Voice Office Baby.
Hey Deepak, bro, I shared an Instagram post with you yesterday regarding the possibilities of artificial intelligence taking over the human world. You saw it?
Oh, really? What is artificial intelligence, Ashwat? Isn't it a supercomputer or something?
No, it's the ability of a computer or robot to control the tasks done by a human, am I right?
Yeah, Helen, that makes sense actually. I was watching a TV series the other day, I think it's called Black Mirror. And it's basically about how artificial intelligence is watching all over us 24/7, basically dictates our government, law, human resources, whatever. I didn't know how to explain it, but the way you said it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, Mayur, this thing is all there in the movies, right? So how is it really affecting our day-to-day lives?
Let's say it's just as simple as Google. You type something on Google, a phrase or a word, and even before you finish typing, the Google predicts what you want to type, as if it just magically reads our mind. That's something like weird and at the same time awesome.
Oh, but it actually searches online to buy certain products, right? Like whatever you do it in Amazon's or like Flipkart's. Like all advertisements on all internet-based platforms start showing their products.
Is it even involved in our medical field? Do we even realize it? Isn't it?
Oh, really? If you actually think like that, lots of departments in our field uses artificial intelligence in a way or other.
Yeah, that's true, Deepak. I mean, in my own department in radiology, we use computer-assisted diagnostics every day. I mean, we use artificial intelligence to diagnose basic things such as pulmonary tuberculosis on x-rays, or even complicated things such as diagnosing stroke on MRI and CT scans.
Yeah, we just simply cannot exclude the implications of AI in diagnostics in our medical fraternity. I recently attended a webinar on artificial intelligence, and if I recall correctly, there are some two major types of AI that we use, one being the virtual one, other the physical.
Physical, I think it will surely be the robotics aspect. Although I have seen a few videos in which the robotics arms were actually operating in synchrony with an actual surgeon, that too simultaneously.
Say, what? A robot operating on a human? Doesn't sound safe at all, right? Who would like to get operated by a machine with no brain or heart? Sounds quite disturbing to know.
No bro, it's nowhere near what you're thinking actually. The robot arms, they run on commands of a highly integrated and competent software which has been checked like umpteen number of times even before the real surgery. All the required data on the basic anatomy, the surgical steps, the expected or unexpected complications, and the events during that given surgery has already been fed into that complex system. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that definitely is awesome, Shashwat. I mean, that does explain the physical aspect of it, but you were talking about the virtual aspect of it as well. How does that work? Like, we just put in data, the patient's history, and we get diagnostics and the prognostics back? Or, like, what is that?
Actually both, Mayur. Like even more, it is as simple as gathering history from the patient by a series of well-constructed questions, receiving all the inputs, running through the flowchart or databases, and then coming to an intelligent diagnosis. That's something AIs are doing right now.
I don't think so. With the wide variety of symptomatology and variants in human nature, AI will surely lack the human touch, right? So it cannot diagnose all the diseases. So moreover, what about the physical examination part of diagnosis?
True, I agree with you. There's nothing like a good old doctor-patient relationship. But the softwares have hundreds of databases of previously diagnosed patients, which hopefully helps them to narrow down to a diagnostic point. Isn't that time-saving and a calculated use of human resources?
That's definitely true, Helen. I mean, putting aside the medical aspect of it, AI has so many uses in the healthcare industry. Like, for example, scheduling of an appointment, medical check-ins, patients' data being digitalized, reminders for patients taking their vaccinations and medicines. The Western world and even many corporate setups in India have already taken upon AI to do all this basic number crunching. And to look at other aspects, there's so many other uses for AI as well, like looking at our everyday Apple Watches that we use. What all can it do for us? It can detect our heart rates, our caloric burns. It can even sometimes detect mood swings in certain patients. So the other day I was reading about this article where one guy who suffered from a myocardial infarction or a heart attack just collapsed on his driveway, and he had no way to call for help, and the watch actually recognized his changes in his pulse rate and recognized that something was wrong, and it immediately called for paramedical health services who came and helped the guy out. So that's something to talk about, right?
Yeah, thanks to Steve Jobs, that guy saved his life. But not only this, leading software companies have recently joined hands with some Imperial Health Institutes in India and outside also to design some prognostic softwares which will detect the chances of, let's say, a carcinoma or maybe a heart disease. Already established prognostic AI for oral cancers is in practical use. It just takes up some basic data such as age, gender, symptoms, duration of the illness, family and genetic histories, and give a percentage after computing massive amounts of databases.
No. Predicting a disease, booking a doctor's visit or tracking where it's all still okay? I don't think so. But an artificial intelligence can't surely treat a patient, right? I mean, it's nearly impossible to give out a prescription or suggest a list of investigations. There is no way one can get a customized or personalized treatment protocol from an AI.
Slow down, Deepak. I know that artificial intelligence has a long way to go, but let's not quite get to the treatment part yet. We're still at the diagnostics. So I spoke to some of my friends in ophthal, in medicine, several other departments. They've all been telling me about how technology is being used actively in their fields as well. For example, in ophthal, they have this algorithm where they put in the images of a certain disease and the computer scans through hundreds of those pictures, and eventually it gets to a point where it can easily recognize that disease in a new patient. So that's something that's good and evolving, right? So I do understand that treatment is a long way away, but diagnostics is definitely there and it's definitely helping us out a lot.
Oh yeah, I saw something on YouTube the other day. It showed the development of algorithms for machines to analyze human genomic data in order to identify the drugs which are used to combat neurological diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's.
Yeah, AI can surely be used in the diagnostics and also for teaching purposes. And let's not forget, it's just still a developing technology. And what future holds, what the wonders AI can share with us, the mere aspect of thinking ahead of the time is just exhilarating.
But can a machine, a supercomputer, a software program or an algorithm take space of human touch in medicine? That's something worth a thought, right?
Yeah, please share your thoughts with us. This is Dr. Shashwat, Dr. Mayur, Dr. Helen and Dr. Deepak signing off and waiting for your comments. Thank you.
You were listening to Voice of SBV.